This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hi, this is Irene Friedman, and the program is all about animals. Coming up on today's program, from the National Geographic book, 5,000 Awesome Facts About Animals, I will be finishing the chapter entitled 100 Awe-Worthy Facts About Baby Animals. After that, I will be reading chapter 13 in its entirety from our ongoing book, A Street Cat Named Bob and How He Saved My Life by James Bowen. After that, I have an article from Catster Magazine about grooming cats, and then we'll see how far that gets us. So let's get started with our last bunch of facts about baby animals. Most octopus moms take care of just one set of eggs in a lifetime and then die after the babies hatch. Female common toads lay strands of eggs on water plants for male toads to fertilize. National Puppy Day, celebrated every March 23rd in the United States, focuses on adopting dogs in need of a home. Scientists found the remnants of thousands of shark eggs 200 miles off Ireland's west coast, evidence of a huge shark nursery where the newly hatched pups had congregated. And that concludes our chapter about baby animals. And now I'm going to move on to our book, A Street Cat Named Bob. To catch you up a little bit, Mr. Bowen has taken on a job selling a newspaper called The Big Issue. And it's a publication. When people sell it, it helps people who are trying to get back on their feet and be a little bit independent. Chapter 13 is entitled Pitch Perfect. I hadn't got many decisions right in my life. Whenever I'd been given an opportunity in the past 10 years, I'd screwed things up big time. Within a couple of days of deciding to become a big issue seller, however, I was pretty sure that I had taken a step in the right direction for once. It had an immediate impact on life for me and Bob. For a start, it gave us more structure. I effectively had a Monday to Friday job. Well, a Monday to Saturday one, in fact. For those first 2 weeks, Bob and I worked at Covent Garden from Monday to Saturday, which tied in with the publication of the magazine. The new edition would come out each Monday morning. We'd be there from sometime in the middle of the morning and often finish at the end of the early evening rush hour, which was around 7 p.m. We stayed for as long as it took us to sell a batch of papers. Being with Bob had already taught me a lot about responsibility, but the big issue took that to another level. If I wasn't responsible and organized, I didn't earn money, and if I didn't earn money, Bob and I didn't eat. So from that very first fortnight, I had to grasp how to run my big issue pitch as a business. For someone whose life had been completely disorganized for the best part of 10 years, this was a huge leap. I had never been great with money and had to live from hand to mouth. I surprised myself with the way I adapted to the new demands. There were downsides, of course. There were bound to be. There is no sale or return with the big issue, so I learned quickly that if you miscalculated the amount of magazines, you could lose out quite badly. You can take a serious blow if you are stuck with 50 papers on Saturday night. Come Monday, you get no credit against the next purchase from the old magazine, so the old papers are pulp. At the same time, you didn't want to underbuy too few, and you'd sell out too quickly and miss out on willing buyers. It was no different from running Marks and Spencers. Well, in theory. The other thing you had to factor in was that there was a huge difference in the quality of the magazines from week to week. Some weeks it would be a good issue packed with interesting stuff. Other weeks it would be quite dull and really hard to sell, especially if the cover didn't have some familiar film or rock star on it. It could be a bit unfair. It took a while to get the balance right. While I was working out the best way to sell the big issue, I still lived from hand to mouth. What I earned between Monday and Saturday evening was generally gone by Monday morning. Sometimes at the start of each week, I'd turn up at the coordinator's stand with only a few quid. If Sam was there, I'd ask her to do me a favor and buy 10 papers for me on the understanding I'd pay her back as soon as I had some money. She would usually do this for vendors who she knew she could trust to repay her. And I had done this once or twice before when I was desperate and always repaid her within hours. I knew the money was coming out of her pocket, not the big issue, so it was only fair. That's when I had sold those copies. Then when I had sold those copies, I'd go back and pay off what I owed and get some more papers. I'd build it up that way from there. As a result of this, in real terms, I was actually making less money than I had been busking with Bob. But as I settled down into this new routine, I decided it was a price worth paying. The fact that I was working legitimately on the streets made a huge difference to me. If I got stopped by a policeman, I could produce my badge, and he left in peace. After the experience with the transport police, that meant a lot. The next couple months working at the tube station flew by. In many ways, it was similar to busking. We'd attract the same sort of people, a lot of middle-aged and elderly ladies, groups of female students, gay guys, but also people from all walks of life. One day during the early part of the autumn of 2008, we were approached by a very flamboyant-looking guy. He had bleach blonde hair and was wearing jeans, cowboy boots, and I could tell that the leather jacket and jeans must have cost a fortune. I was sure he was an American rock star. He certainly looked like one. As he walked along, he had immediately spotted Bob. He stopped in his tracks and smiled. "That's one cool cat," he said in a sort of transatlantic drawl. He looked really familiar, but I couldn't for the life of me place him. I was dying to ask him who he was, but thought it was rude. I was glad I didn't. He spent a minute on his knees just stroking Bob. "You guys been together long?" he asked. "Gosh, let me think," I said, having to work it out. "Well, we got together in the spring of last year, so it's about a year and a half now." "Cool, you look like real soul brothers," he smiled, "like you belong together." "Thanks," I said, by now desperate to know who the hell this guy was. Before I could ask him, he got up and looked at his watch. "Hey, gotta go. See you guys around," he said, reaching into a pocket in his jacket and producing a wad of cash. He then dropped a tenner into my hand. "Keep it," he said, as I began to rummage around for change. "You guys have a good day." "We will," I promised him, and we did. It made such a difference that I was now working outside the tube station legitimately. I'd had a couple moments with some of the familiar faces from the tube station again, one or two of whom had given me some filthy looks. I had ignored them. The rest of the staff there were actually fine. They knew I was getting on with my job. As long as I didn't offend or harass anyone, that was fine. Inevitably, Bob and I had also got a bit of attention from other big-issue vendors in the area. I wasn't so naive as to think that everything was going to be all sweetness and light with other vendors and assorted street workers. Life on the streets wasn't like that. It wasn't a community built on caring for each other. It was a world in which everyone looked after number one, but to begin with, at least most of the other big-issue sellers reacted warmly to the sight of the new guy with a cat on his shoulders. There had always been vendors around with dogs. One or two of them had been real characters, but as far as I was aware, there had never been a big-issue seller with a cat in Covent Garden or anywhere else in London before. Some of the vendors were rather sweet about it. A few of them came up and started stroking him and asking questions about how we met and what I knew about his background. The answer, of course, was nothing. He was a blank slate, a mystery cat, which seemed to endear everyone to him even more. No one was interested in me, of course. The first thing they'd say when they saw us again was, "How's Bob today?" No one ever asked how I was, but that was okay. That was to be expected. I knew the air of bonhomie wouldn't last, and never did on the streets. With Bob at my side, I discovered that I could sell as many as 30 or even 50 papers on a good day. At £2 a paper, as they were priced back then, it could add up quite well, especially with the tips that some people gave me, or more usually, Bob. One early autumn evening, Bob was sitting on my rucksack, soaking up the last of the day's sun, when a very well-heeled couple walked past the tube station. To judge by their outfits, they were heading for the theater, maybe even the opera. He was wearing a tuxedo and a bow tie, and she had a black silk dress on. You two look very smart, I said as they stopped and started drooling over Bob. The lady smiled at me, but the guy ignored me. He's gorgeous, the lady said. Have you been together for a long time? Quite a while, I said. We kind of found each other on the streets. Here you go, the guy said, suddenly pulling out his wallet and removing a 20-pound note. Before I could even reach into my coat to fish out some change, he had waved me away. No, that's fine. Keep it, he said, smiling at his companion. The look she gave him spoke volumes. I had a feeling they were on a first date. She had clearly been impressed by him giving me that much money. As they walked off, I noticed her leaning into him and wrapping her arm around his. I didn't care whether it was genuine or not. It was the first time I had ever been given a 20-pound drop. After a few more weeks of trying out the spot at the tube station, I realized that, far from being a bad pitch, the tube station was actually ideal for me and Bob. So I was disappointed when Sam told me that, having finished my probation period, I would be moving to another pitch at the end of the fortnight. It wasn't exactly a surprise. The thing about being a member of the Big Issue vendor community is that everyone can see how well each other is doing. When the vendors go to the coordinator, they can see who has been buying what quantities on a list that's there for everyone to see. You can read it and spot who has been buying papers in batches of 10s and 20s and how many batches they are buying. So during that first fortnight, they would have seen that I was buying a lot of magazines. It soon became obvious that it was something that had been spotted by some of the other vendors. In that second week, I noticed a subtle but definite change in attitude towards me. I wasn't at all surprised when Sam told me that I had ended my probation and would now be moved to a different pitch. Our new location wasn't a long way from the tube station, on the corner of Neal Street and Schwartz Gardens outside a shoe shop called Size. I got the distinct feeling that the older hands had taken a dislike to me and Bob and hadn't taken too kindly to us doing so well out of what was supposed to be a bad pitch. For once, however, I bit my lip and accepted it. Choose your battles, James, I counseled myself. It turned out to be good advice. And that is the end of the chapter entitled Pitch Perfect. Okay, next from Catster Magazine, an article entitled Groom Like You Mean It by Sandy Robbins. These 10 easy grooming tips take it from yow to meow. And this is a kitty style guide. Look at any photograph of a celebrity and rest assured there's a glam squad behind the scenes primping and putting every hair in place. While your own glamour puss is very capable of taking care of her fur, felines still require a little help from their favorite stylist, you. Good grooming is not just about looks, but well-being, too. Keeping her looking fabulous goes beyond mere brushing. From ensuring her hair never mats and trimming fur between the toes, making sure she doesn't ingest loose hair and create serious hairballs. And cleaning teeth. Plus, there's also those mani-pedis. Here are 10 easy grooming tips to keep kitty sitting pretty. 1. Use this time to bond. Grooming your cat is a wonderful opportunity for special quality alone time with benefits for both of you. Build trust and enhance your special bond through regular grooming sessions. Make a point of regularly playing with your cat's feet and massage her head gently, including her ears. This builds up a level of confidence and tolerance that helps when you need to do a mani-pedi or wipe her face and ears. This is especially important with kittens, but you should do it with cats no matter their age. 2. Look for skin and body issues. Being hands-on with your cat regularly allows you to detect issues such as dry skin, rashes, and any lumps that may need further attention. 3. Be a location scout. Whether you're booking a room with a stunning view for your vacation or looking for the best table in the restaurant for a romantic dinner, it's the location that matters. The same can be said for finding the right place to groom your cat. For her to be relaxed and allow you to help with her grooming routine, she needs to be in a really comfortable place. Let her choose. It could be your lap, a platform on the cat tree, or the kitchen counter. This way, she's more likely to stay longer and let you get to work, and because your cat is in charge, she's allowed to leave whenever she feels like it. She's a celebrity here, which means it's okay to simply complete one task at a time. 4. Use the right tools. Short-haired cats should be brushed at least once a week to keep loose hair under control. The less they ingest when they wash themselves, the better. It also means less fur on the furniture. Here's a list of must-have grooming tools. A nylon bristle brush to give the coat a smooth, silky look. A rubber curry brush that looks like a comb with large rubber teeth that magnetically lifts fur and massages. Flea comb. A fine short tooth comb to gently remove any matted hair and for removing hair from the slicker brush. Long-haired cats should be brushed daily to prevent their hair from matting. You will need a double-sided wire and bristle brush for general grooming, a slicker brush to remove tangles, dead hair, and debris. It also helps to distribute healthy coat oils all over the body. A wide tooth comb to keep long hair matte and tangle free. A de-shedding comb to keep the undercoat thinned without cutting the hair. Number 5. Clean those teeth the easy way. Cleaning a cat's teeth is no easy task. They are very squirmy. There are a number of products that can help with this. Feline toothbrushes and paste. Specially formulated dental gels and sprays that coat teeth and create an invisible barrier to prevent harmful bacteria that cause plaque and tartar from attaching to the teeth. Dental products that can be added to drinking water. Specially formulated tooth wipes that fit onto your finger like a finger puppet that can be well tolerated, especially if you begin the routine from kittenhood. Here's a useful tip to control plaque from Dr. Jan Bellows, the renowned specialist veterinary dentist based in Weston, Florida. He suggests a cotton swab dipped in tuna juice and rubbing it along the teeth. Because cats like the taste, they usually allow you to proceed, and if you don't get the whole mouth done at one time, you can do it in stages. The gentle friction of the cotton swab on the teeth is enough to actively reduce plaque buildup. 6. Get into a routine. Start by brushing from the neck area toward the tail. Slowly work around the body, the chest, tummy, and legs, and work your way down the tail. Work any mat slowly from the top and gently separate the fur. If you need to cut into it, use special bullnose scissors, never anything else. A cat's skin is very delicate and it's very easy to cut and make bleed, especially if you can't really gauge where you're cutting through the matted fur. Serious mats should be left to professional groomers. There are specially formulated wipes to remove dust from a coat. The average domestic kitty doesn't need a full-on bath. Some cats don't like water, and the experience might make their blood pressure spike unnecessarily. Similarly, there are special facial wipes to wipe the ears, nose, and mouth area. If kitty rolls in something sticky, a feline dry shampoo and some paper towels will take care of the problem. Certain situations and types of cats, and then in parentheses it has hairless, may call for bath time, which you may want to leave to a professional cat groomer if your cat doesn't care for water. 7. Know what to do before you cut those nails. Most cats take a stand when it comes to mani-pedis, although nails should be trimmed monthly, and it's usually a two-person job. The best and least stressful way is to wrap her in a blanket, the kitty burrito, and take out one paw at a time. Hold the paw, massage the pads, and press gently so that the nails are extended. To decide where to cut, look at the nail from the side. This way it's easy to distinguish between the nail and the quick, which is the blood supply that is an opaque pink color at the base of the nail. If you are unsure, simply trim the very tips of the nails until you build up more confidence. If you accidentally clip into the quick, styptic powder will stop the bleeding. Ordinary cake flour will also do the trick. While you are trimming the front paws, include the dew claw, the slightly thicker nail on the side of the front feet. On long-haired cats, it's a good idea to wet the fur to make it easier to see the claw. If cutting makes you nervous, try a pet nail grinder. If your cat doesn't mind one, or go to a professional cat groomer. Number 8. Always give treats. Be generous with treats. Reward patient sitting and cooperation all the way through the grooming session. Remember, when your cat says it's over, it's over. 9. Stop static fur. To remove static from a cat's coat, finally spray the fur with mineral water. It removes the static that's especially common in dry, wintry weather. It also keeps the fur moisturized for a brilliant sheen. Alternatively, run a hot shower to steam up the bathroom, then take your cat in there with you. Don't let her overdo it in the kitty sauna. This is another excellent and easy way to add moisture to the fur, remove static in extremely cold climates. 10. Make it fun. And finally, talk to her all the time and don't get stressed, as she will pick up on your emotions. Giving treats and playing games afterwards all help to label it a fun occasion. And Sandy Robbins, who wrote this, is the author of Fabulous Felines, Health and Beauty Secrets for the Pampered Cat. And you can visit her on Sandy Robbins, and that's R-O-B-I-N-S, sandyrobbinsonline.com. And now they're showing a few products that can be ordered. Waterless cat shampoo. Tropiclean waterless dander reducing cat shampoo for cats, $9.99 from chewy.com. Andis cordless nail grinder, $48 from Andis, andis.com. Lil Pals and Safari grooming products range from $5.99 to $23.99 from coastalpet.com. And it's showing all sorts of types of brushes. There's a magnifying glass. There's different combs. There's some type of scissors, I'm sure, for cutting the nails. And there's an array of products there. Then we have Earth Bath hypoallergenic cat grooming wipes, $15.99 from earthbath.com. And then we have Virbac, V-I-R-B-A-C-C-E-T oral hygiene kit for cats, $13.11 from Chewy. It looks like you get a brush and some toothpaste and some other things in the kit. And now, quick sidebar, got a hairless breed? If you have a hairless kitty, the best way to ensure that she has perfect, non-oily skin is to embark on a regular beauty routine similar to what you would do for your own face. Use a soft exfoliating mitt to remove dead cells and then wipe her down with a specially formulated cat wipe. Hairless or mostly hairless cats include the Bambino, the Donskoy, the Peterbald, the Sphinx, and the Ukrainian Levkoi, L-E-V-K-O-Y. And that is the article on cat grooming. Moving on, an article from Modern Dog magazine, Sleep Like a Dog in This Human-Sized Dog Bed. University grads launch dog beds for people and raise $400,000 by Cassandra Gill. One thing is certain, dogs excel at napping, clocking up to 14 hours a day at rest, 18 to 20 hours if they are puppies or seniors. It's hard not to feel just a bit envious of your four-legged friend's epic rest sessions. Now you don't have to. A new company has designed cozy dog beds sized for humans, as in you. Meet Fluffle, a dog bed for people, and that's P-L-U-F-L. That's the spelling, launched by two university grads who have raised a whopping $400,000 to date. Is this the new Snuggie, the late-night TV hawk wearable blanket that shot to fame? Fluffle is the ultimate napping and resting product, co-founders Noah Silverman and Yuki Kinoshita explained to Modern Dog. The company has a singular mission to make napping better with the round beds that are designed to rest on the floor. The startup was born out of the pair's own love of napping and one special dog who ironically belongs to neither. While they both love dogs, neither was able to have one during their busy university years, but there are plans to get a Fluffle office dog in the very near future. The idea, sure to take off with Gen Z's and Millennials on Instagram, was sparked over regular trips to a Vancouver, British Columbia coffee shop while studying at the University of British Columbia. At their go-to Java house, the friends got to know a sweet and regularly napping Great Dane who hung out on a regular basis, ultimately serving as their inspiration. The Dane belonged to the owners and was so large that she had a custom bed of her very own. We came up with the idea after looking for a better place to nap and rest and seeing how comfortable dogs looked in their beds. We decided to make one for humans, the duo explained. Both Silverman, who hails from Washington, and Kinoshita, who's a D.C. native, earned their undergraduate degrees in international economics in May 2022. Months before graduating, the 21-year-olds were keen to take their idea from concept to reality. With just a vision, Silverman and Kinoshita took to Craigslist to find a seamstress who could assist with making their first sample. "We started the business by prototyping different types of dog beds for humans," they said. The first version was an ultra-cozy success, and the duo quickly realized they were onto something. "After realizing that it's so cozy and comfortable, we decided to take our product to the world. The only thing they needed now was capital." As students, the two embraced a grassroots approach to get the funds with their crowdsourcing platform Kickstarter. In just 30 days, Silverman and Kinoshita raised an incredible $400,000 to get the company and their product going. Their initial goal? A moderate $25,000, but 800 backers clearly felt passionately about their product and movement. "The day we released the campaign, I was actually writing an exam. All I could think about the whole time was the campaign, so I flew through the exam, and by the time I left the room, we were already at 100% of our goal," Kinoshita recalls. The pair is currently finding the right manufacturing partner who can help them fulfill their growing pre-order list this fall. Fluffle's initial run will be 800 beds, which they're focused on getting to customers as soon as possible. The new version is elevated from the initial prototype, with orthopedic memory foam, a suggestion by their designer who specializes in both dog beds and textiles. There's also an area to tuck your hands and feet, a thick pillow border, and a luxe faux fur throw. "Our demo is anyone looking for a more comfortable and cozy environment to nap in," Silverman enthuses. The pair don't see Fluffle as a human-only item. Furry friends can indulge too, and dog owners looking to cuddle with their fur babies, of course, they clarify. Ultimately, they envision Fluffle as more than just a one-product company, but rather a disruptor in the nap space. They believe the experience will both alleviate stress and anxiety in people and encourage a healthy napping culture. "We want to build a community centered around promoting naps as a key to living a more happy and healthy life," Silverman says of their mission. "A space where everyone from a regular napper to someone who has never taken a nap in their life can go to connect and learn more about sleep, health, and nap culture." Beyond the dog bed, Silverman and Kinoshita already have plans for a full-range companion line that will include pillows and blankets. "We want to build and deliver the highest quality napping products on the market and help users find better ways to rest and de-stress," they say of their mission. "The Fluffle is just the start for us. We are so excited to deliver a whole line of products and solutions to help people live a more rested, happy, and healthy life." For interested customers looking to score a human dog bed of their own, Silverman and Kinoshita encourage people to keep an eye on their Instagram page. "We are about to launch an additional round of pre-orders, so visit our social media pages and subscribe to our email list to stay up to date when it drops." And Fluffle is spelled P-L-U-F-L. And I should note that this article came out in the fall of 2022, and it shows some photographs of humans sleeping on this fluffy bed, which does look quite comfortable. It is kept on the floor, and there are also pictures of people in the bed. It has these very big sides that are all fluffy and puffy, and pictures of humans sleeping in the bed with their dogs. And with that article, I am completely out of time for this week. Remember, March 23rd is National Puppy Day. Maybe go out and adopt a dog or a puppy. Spay and neuter your cats and dogs. And to everyone out there, thank you so much for tuning in and listening. And have a great day. Bye, everyone.